This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
That'll wake you up on a Friday morning. If you're not awake already, I hope you are. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, the fifth Beatle, by the way. You know that? They threw me out. I couldn't sing or play the guitar, but other than that, I was good. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Friday, October the 8th already. Wow. In a few minutes, Weifeng Zong is going to join us. He is at George Mason University's Mercatus Center, and we're going to talk about mainland China and its increasing threat to the island of Taiwan, and whether Joe Biden is in any position to be a deterrent to all of that. So stay tuned for it. And government numbers indicate last month's new job hires were in the toilet. What's going on? We're going to take a look at that. And Donald Trump wants GOP Senate leader Mitch McConnell gone after his so-called cave-in to Democrats on the debt ceiling hike. We're going to talk about that as well. And we've got a very good ultimate top 10. You know this. I don't care where you are in the country. The top 10 states with the highest gas prices. Which state do you think is number one? We'll see if Ed knows a little bit later in the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut in Tampa Bay. I tell you this over and over again, guys. You can't go anywhere and not come out of that place feeling better than going to Andrew's Master Barbershop. No other barbershop gives you that satisfaction. Price-wise, quality-wise, everything-wise. They're in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And a plug always to Good Morning Clearwater, which precedes our show. They're a wonderful warm-up act. But they're on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the great TAN Talk Radio Network. Let them all brighten and start your day. Paul and Tracy and all the other good people, Tony and everybody there, with the latest in news and entertainment. That's Good Morning Clearwater. All right, well, if you were listening and remember on Wednesday when we did our show, we boasted that it looked pretty good for the September job numbers. In fact, we said that ADP figured about 340,000 new hires. At least if you believe the Labor Department, non-farm payroll increased 194,000 in September. Now, that's many less than expected. 194,000. ADP said 340,000. What is the difference? It's like half of what ADP projected. So why are we all screwed up? I'm beginning to wonder if anybody really knows how many new people were hired. The job gains in August went up. They were revised up. They were at 235,000. Now we say they had 366,000. How come we miscount so much? And then we have to go back and kind of sweep up the mess. But if this is true, we only had 194,000 new hires in September, that's kind of scary. It's beginning to make my feeling about this shelving, with products on the shelves, come true here. I don't think we have enough people out there that are filling the jobs. Where are the truck drivers? Why are they not filling the the delivery of our products. I went to Walmart the other day. I've told you this, Ed. I'm telling you that there's the normal things you would go and see in Walmart, they're not there. They're like an empty space. And I know it's all over the place. It's in the same thing in grocery stores. Go to the grocery store and go to the soup counter or the soup shelving area and take a look. You'll see what I mean.
Some of the shelves in the supermarket look like a depleted Friday night.
Yeah.
And, you know, after everybody's got paid and, you know, and then they restock overnight.
Exactly.
Yeah. They look, and a lot of other things too that you know, you go to the hardware store, whatever. I mean, you're looking for things and you can't find them.
No. We got two things going on that are scaring me. One is inflation and the cost of everything going up. We know that.
Right.
And the second thing is the scarcity.
Yeah.
You know, that's, it's a double whammy.
And the delivery of them, too.
And the delivery of them, yeah. So we got things to worry about right now. In the meantime, there was kind of a interesting situation here with Mitch McConnell. Now, this gets to be very complicated. The debt ceiling, as opposed to the new spending, the debt ceiling, they use the excuse that you gotta pay your old debts. So therefore, you gotta raise the ceiling because we don't have enough money that we allow our country to pay our debts. So it's always they use that logic. Well, yes, we spent too much, yes, but we already spent the money and therefore you gotta raise the debt limit ceiling so that we can pay those bills. Okay. So Mitch McConnell allows them to raise the debt ceiling to $28 trillion. Now, why does that number sound familiar, the debt ceiling? Because our national debt is at 28.4 or 28.8 trillion. So the debt ceiling is now comparable to our total national debt, okay? So by a 50 to 48 vote, the debt ceiling has been raised. It's temporary. It's raised until December. Senator Joe Manchin went viral last night. He was sitting behind Chuck Schumer because Chuck Schumer got up there, the evil person that he is, and used the platform to criticize Mitch McConnell, who was basically extending an olive branch to the Democrats, who are putting themselves in this situation. So Schumer goes after McConnell and belittles him. And Manchin was seated directly behind Schumer, and he could be seen shaking his head. He looks like, somebody said he looks like a baseball manager sitting in a dugout after his team gives up the lead. Manchin appeared to be exasperated for Schumer continuing to hammer McConnell. At one point, he could be seen putting his head into his hands and eventually getting up from his chair and walking out. So that was kind of interesting. In the meantime, Donald Trump is no fan of McConnell these days. I used to think that they got along pretty well. I don't think that that was ever the case. It was a marriage of convenience. Trump was on Fox News. He was, you know, Sean Hannity gets Trump on all the time and gets him on for, they'll talk for sometimes half an hour, you know, and let Trump, of course, these days, you don't hear as much from him. But he goes on about Mitch McConnell having to be replaced after McConnell and led 10 other Republicans to break the filibuster on the debt ceiling increase. He said that, let's see, I just want to see what was his quote on McConnell. He just thinks he should be replaced, that, you know, he shouldn't be allowing this to occur. In the past, Trump has called out people like Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski as disloyal and wanted to support any challenger to her. So anyway, I guess what we're trying to say is Trump doesn't like what Mitch McConnell has done. We're going to switch gears, my friend. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Wai-Fen Zhang is going to join us. We got a real issue to worry about with Taiwan and what mainland China wants to do with it.
This This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap tooth. She's got a hat on 34th and Vine. Selling little...
Hey, we are back on a Friday. And interesting news article I've found here. A U.S. Special Operations Unit and a contingent of Marines have been secretly operating on the island of Taiwan to train military forces there. They've been there now for at least a year, and there's something going on right now. I'm a little worried about this. Taiwan and U.S. officials expressing alarm over nearly 150 flights near Taiwan in the past week by Chinese military aircraft. So we've got Weifang Zhang back with us. He is a senior research fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center. And Weifang, what is going on right now? It seems a little, you know, we got all these things going on here in the United States that we're worried about with the border and with inflation and with all of these other things. But in the meantime, we know that mainland China has been eyeballing Taiwan for a long time. What's going on right now?
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You're always so interesting.
Thank you. So I think there are so many moving pieces now, and many are just coming out to light in the past few days. And so it's a very interesting exercise to connect all the dots. So I think one thing we know now is that President Biden and the Chinese President Xi had a phone call last month, in which President Biden said that the United States would abide by the One China policy, basically. And the agreement also included the strategic ambiguity toward Taiwan, which basically says the United States is going to stay mum on whether it would come to Taiwan's defense should China invade the island. And so And then we have seen all these record number of military flights from China going over the Taiwan Strait in the past week. I think now these two pieces, I think what it suggests is that the China perhaps is seeing some opportunities, because perhaps they perceive what President Biden said in the phone call as some sort of a weakness on U.S. foreign policy. Because the phone call took place a month ago, right? And then they only recently started to ramp up all these military flights. And so, in against this backdrop, I think we now have a better understanding of the report you mentioned just came out yesterday, saying the U.S. troops are a small number are in Taiwan training the soldiers. And I think it's possible that that's a signal from the United States showing that we are not that ambiguous. We might actually come to Taiwan's defense. And if that's the case, I think it's a welcome development, because showing U.S. commitment overseas is something really much needed now, given some missteps we have seen in recent months, including the pullout from Afghanistan and the fiasco surrounding.
Well, let me ask you something about this, Wai-Fang. If you were President Xi, would you, if you were going to make your move on Taiwan, would you make your move on Taiwan with President Trump in power or with President Biden in power?
I think it doesn't matter a whole lot. So I wrote about this in the Washington Examiner a few months ago. And in the piece, I basically recounted all China's thinking process when it comes to Tibet, Xinjiang, the crackdown of the Uyghurs, the crackdown on the Hong Kong pro-democracy movement. I think it's, to some extent, it's inevitable that China has the ambition to overtake Taiwan. And that doesn't really depend on who's the president in the United States. Because if you compare people of Taiwan, they actually have, with the people in Hong Kong, for example, people in Taiwan actually have political freedom and economic freedom. And the for a long time, there's this talking point within mainland China that says, you know, democracy doesn't really work for us. You know, Chinese people, we have different values, we have different culture, you know, we lead different political systems. But if you look at Taiwan, that's not true, right? You know, Chinese people can also have, at least ethnic Chinese people in Taiwan, they can also have democracy, they can still vote, and it will still turn out fine. So I think that has for a long time been a problem for Beijing, and the ambition really doesn't depend on which president is in power.
Okay. So you don't think, well, if we look now at this training that's been going on, it says for a little over a year, well, then obviously it started under Donald Trump, and Biden has nothing to do with it. Then we get this thing with Biden and his playing around with certain people in China and in the Ukraine through his son. And you wonder if Biden really has whatever it takes as president to separate himself from financial situations with China and be objective with what China might try to do. Now, we've got a deal over the long haul, ever since apparently World War II, that we would protect mainland China from the threat of a takeover. Protect Taiwan from any takeover by mainland China. I'm old enough to remember as a kid, both Kennedy and Nixon, when they were running for president, talking about Taiwan and our need to protect it. So have we not moved away from that guarantee, would you say?
I think the more recent policy, at least for a few decades, 20, 30 years now, is actually the strategic ambiguity that I mentioned, which is say we are not saying whether we will defend Taiwan. We may not. The purpose, I think, on that front was actually to make Beijing guess and make Beijing sort of unsure about whether they should invade Taiwan. But on the other hand, it also is a way to incentivize Taiwan to you know, beef up its defense capabilities. You know, we may or may not defend you, so you better, you know, we can sell weapons to you, but you get you better figure all your own things out. So that's actually serving both purposes. But if we look at what the situation is now, I think Taiwan has become stronger over the years in terms of defense capabilities. So the ambiguity is not that much needed on that front anymore, I think. But also, China's ambition is growing much more than, you know, what we have seen so far before. And so I think now is the time to abandon ambiguity, to actually make it clearer that the U.S. might actually come to Taiwan's defense.
Hmm.
Now, I think you mentioned very interestingly the program, obviously, with troops in Taiwan started under former President Trump. But I think it's President Biden's choice to, you know, whether call those troops back, that's option one that he could have taken, but not, right? Another curious thing is why they let this report come out, or why they let this information get out just now, rather than, you know, any time during the past 8 months when President Biden was in office.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting that it came out at this point. We're talking with Wai-Fang Zhang. He is a senior research fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center. He knows a lot about what is going on with mainland China and all of their things involving all of these different little tidbits. I shouldn't say it that way, but Hong Kong and some of the other situations. But in in Taiwan, it's something that they've been kind of eyeballing forever. Mainland China feels like Taiwan had no right to break away and be free. They just don't believe that is right, that these people belong to the rest of China. And Taiwan feels completely different. But let me ask you this, Weifeng. I mean, come on. If mainland China wanted to take over Taiwan, it would be David versus Goliath, would it not? I mean, they just walk in and take over Taiwan. And what are we going to do? I mean, really, what would we do if they did that? Are we going to attack them? I don't think so. I don't think so. What is your thought?
So I think if you are just thinking about mainland China versus Taiwan, that would quite like what you said, David versus Goliath, the versus David in that order. But I think there's a lot U.S. can do, actually, even shy of really coming to Taiwan's defense. For example, the United States could provide logistics support around the island. Other countries may actually do the same or even come to Taiwan's defense. If you think about Japan, South Korea.
Do you think Japan would want to become involved in this?
So Japanese official actually came out a few months ago saying that Japan actually commits to come to Taiwan's defense.
They did.
In the event of Chinese invasion.
Okay.
And the statement did not actually mention was a conditional on U.S. being part of it. So I thought that statement was interesting too. But logistically, if Japan is coming to Taiwan's defense, I don't see a scenario where U.S. is doing nothing.
Yeah.
I imagine there will be some aircraft carriers, you know, going there close to it, providing support without actually fighting the war. I think that's also possible.
I look at the way we handled Afghanistan, and I really worry about Biden's ability to do anything correctly. I don't know that we've got a plan. Maybe we do. You would think so after all of these decades, that we've got some sort of a plan. The Pentagon must, our military must have some sort of a plan. It must be in a file cabinet somewhere that says plan if mainland China attacks Taiwan. So we got it there. Go ahead.
Yeah, we could say the same. Like Afghanistan, right? The U.S. has been there for 20 years. They must have a plan.
You would have thought we would have had a plan to get the hell out of Afghanistan after 20 years. Go ahead.
Right. No, I think that's a valid point. And so I think it's hard to say. And when it comes to war, we have to recognize that, you know, whatever the scale is, it's going to be devastating to all the parties involved. And war actually breaks out not because we are sure who's stronger and who's weaker. It's actually the ambiguity or the uncertainty for both parties, for example, to think that they are actually the stronger side. And that's where you things can get out of hand. And so I think it's important actually now, before it happens, to think about what the U.S. can do to prevent it. So I think making the commitment to defend Taiwan is actually a good way to achieve peace. And another way is that I've written it before too, is actually to take some economic policies to enhance the relations with Taiwan. For example, forging a free trade agreement between U.S. and Taiwan. I think economically it would be a good idea. It would also send a strong signal to Beijing saying that, you know, they are our allies and we're not kidding.
Yeah. Speaking about economics, as competition between the U.S. and China and intensifies, apparently more Americans now think China is more powerful economically. Now, that's a reversal from a couple of years ago. Now, this is a survey, so you never know for sure, but it's a survey released by the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. It found that protecting U.S. jobs ranked ahead of other American foreign policy priorities. But it's interesting that we now are starting to admit that China maybe has become number one in the world economically.
Well, in terms of sheer number, meaning the size of the economy, it's quite likely that China would overtake the American economy within the next 10 years, whether it's 8, 7, depending on how the recovery from COVID goes on both sides. But I think it's judging by the trajectory, especially the United States is not that likely to get over 3% GDP growth per year. Right? So the math is right there. in terms of size, the China would will take over the United States within a number of years. And but also very interesting, I think the more and more American people actually now agree that the United States should come to Taiwan's defense should Beijing invade the island.
Oh, that's good.
I think
good.
That's also an interesting turn of public opinion too. That will also buy the hand of the Biden administration in terms of what they should and should not.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I say, I just hope we don't have that scenario occur, because I'm not sure with Biden. I am not sure. I think it's it would be a dangerous situation under any scenario, But I'm thinking that you know, mainland China eventually is gonna snatch Taiwan. We'll see. It's always a pleasure, Wai Fang. Thank you so very much for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Paul.
Always our pleasure. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, I'm looking at another survey on Joe Biden. Every time I take a look, he's going down further and further down the elevator shaft. We're going to go talk about that and a few other things. So we'll be back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
How lucky. Hey, we are back on a Friday, and we are always delighted to have you with us live. We are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network, but we're also on podcast. If you cannot listen live, you can listen to us then. Big Ed puts all our shows on the website, on podcast. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's got all the shows lined up chronologically from the latest all the way down. And you'll know who the top 10 list is, and you'll know who the guest is. OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So every time I look at a new poll... And did we talk about this one, Ed, on Wednesday? I can't remember. The Quinnipiac poll has come out, and that's typically more geared towards Democrats. In other words, they might oversample Democrats, but they've got Biden's approval rating at 38%. 38%. That's down from 42% 3 weeks ago.
You'd be hard-pressed to find those 38%.
Yeah, maybe it's even lower
than that.
They're hiding. Yeah. I was watching him again the other day. There's something wrong with him.
Well, yeah.
I mean, and it's not I feel bad for him in a way. He's kind of, they kind of forced him into it, I think. Yeah. I'm not so sure he was all that excited about being president.
And it's not like he's going to get any better.
No.
You know, I mean, he's just going to get worse with the problem he's got.
Yeah.
You know, I posed an interesting question.
Yeah.
This far, so far... We've always talked about, you know, which may be the worst president, the best president.
Mm-hmm.
How about vice president?
Yes.
Okay? How about,
we don't even remember the vice presidents.
Kamala Harris or What was, oh, God. Dan Quayle.
I like Dan Quayle. I mean, there's no comparison.
Really?
Dan Quayle, yes. Dan Quayle.
Luna couldn't spell, what was it, potato or something?
There was a card. There was a card, and they left the E off of it. That poor guy has never lived that down. But you know, the press wanted, you got to remember that the press always wanted to paint Republicans as stupid. Now, think about it. They tried to paint Reagan as stupid and a bumbler.
Yeah.
What did they do with, what's her name, up there in Alaska, who ran for vice president with McCain?
Uh-huh.
They wanted to paint her as a goofball and stupid. They always do that. They wanted to paint Quayle as stupid. That's where they go. Without any real reason to go there other than, you know, they'll find something they might have said. Like she said, what's her name, by the way, the one that was...
Yeah, I got it on the tip of my tongue
there.
You and
I we're losing it. We have Biden.
She had an annoying voice.
She had a little high-pitched voice.
And it sounded like Fran Drescher.
But do you remember when she said she could look out her back window and see Russia?
Yes.
Boy, they ran with that one, didn't they?
Yeah.
And... Sarah Palin. All right. So she was a dope, right? And Quayle's a dope. And Bush. How about George W. Bush? Wasn't he portrayed as a dope? That's what the way the media would do it. They portrayed Reagan as a dope. You know, as a bumbling old fool.
Yeah, I remember the
now look, when we really do have a bumbling old fool in the White House,
and they don't say anything.
They circle the wagons on him. They circle the wagons. The guy can. If you listen to him talk, he's not able to formulate his words as well as he used to either. I mean, you
as well as he used to.
Go back 20 years.
We're talking 6 months ago, for crying out loud.
You're right.
Back in the good old days.
In the good old days when he
could form a sentence last year.
Correct. So, I feel in a way I do feel bad for him, but in a way I don't feel bad for him. So, one way or the other, I think we have an incompetent that is in the White House. We have an incompetent. And we don't have anybody, you're talking about Kamala Harris as a vice president. She's one of the worst. She's MIA, missing in action to begin with.
I don't know, what do you think they're more disappointed in? The way that Biden has turned out, or the way that they had so much hopes for Kamala Harris that isn't just not going to pan out?
I don't know. That's a good
question. What's the bigger disappointment?
Yeah. Didn't they kind of know what Kamala... You know, Biden became a socialist overnight, right? He was portrayed as a moderate.
Well, Biden never wanted this. I mean, he would have been happy drinking iced tea on a porch somewhere.
Well,
but they forced him into this. I mean,
I think in a way they did. You know, used to be he's run 3 or 4 times for president.
Yeah.
And at least the other times, he was somewhat cogent. Now, he's not. And so there's a disappointment maybe with I would think there's a disappointment with how quickly he's gone and been pulled to the far left. But then I look at the Democratic Party, I'm beginning to say there's only a handful of moderates that are left in that party. So maybe they figured he would do that, and they're overjoyed he would do that. Mm. Now we got Kamala Harris. She's a boob.
Yeah.
She's way in over her head. I think it might be worse with her because she just doesn't have any experience. He has experience, but he can't remember it.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting in 2024 because, you know, obviously Biden's going to be a one and done. I mean,
I would think so.
That's just not going to happen.
I don't even think the Democrats would want him back.
But are they going to put all their eggs into the basket of Kamala Harris?
No, or, I don't think they. You know, I don't think Kamala Harris is going to be their candidate.
They're going to have to find somebody else.
They're going to have to find somebody else that's got some sort of gravitas, some sort of that people respect, that they've got some knowledge of the job. Mm. I don't think Kamala Harris. Every time she makes an appearance, she falls on her rear end.
She is really hated.
And she's got that attitude.
Telling you.
She's got that attitude, doesn't she? When she's got that condescending attitude.
Mm-hmm, the laughing.
But it's like even when she was running, you know, in the in the Democratic presidential primary. There was a condescending attitude.
I mean,
towards everybody else.
You know, they would post things on Facebook of the latest one was her of a video where she was walking out of a football tunnel, it was a stadium tunnel. She was going to flip the coin, and somebody yelled out, "Thanks for all you've done." And people under there were like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
She hadn't done
anything. Still can't find the border.
Yeah, you know, that's it. She's our border czar. She's never been there hardly.
She's the only border czar I know that stays away from the border.
She went down there, but she didn't go to the border.
No,
remember that?
She did not go to the border. She still has not been to the border.
By the way, you know how many times Biden's been to the border? Seriously.
I don't know.
None. No, but not even when he was not president, he hasn't been to the border. Did you know that?
Yeah, and they're not covering
this. He didn't go down there when he was the vice president. He didn't go down there. They cannot find any tape of him, and they were challenged. Right. The press secretary was challenged. She said, "Has Biden never been to the border?" She couldn't answer it. She said she'd get back to them. They never got back to them.
Yeah. And for all that they, you know, they talk about Trump and the things that, you know, he said and was hated by the Democrats. But when you tune in on a Saturday afternoon for college football, and you hear in the distance chants of F.U. Yeah. Joe Biden.
I know.
Yeah. Wow. Baseball games, it's all.
Did you hear it in a college game? Because that actually bodes well for colleges. I was thinking
colleges and baseball games. We heard it in a Yankees game.
Well, colleges is where I would be interested.
College, let me think of the college.
A Southern college.
No, it was a Northern college.
Oh.
No.
Was it a private school?
I don't know if it was Michigan or somewhere.
Wow.
No, because I was like, wow, that's a northern.
Michigan.
Yeah, it was somewhere north.
I'd be surprised.
Somewhere north.
Well, maybe we're starting to get a little bit more understanding of this guy being incompetent. Maybe even the young people know that. Maybe they're aware of it. Maybe, you know, by watching him, they are aware of something wrong.
I know Andrew gets frustrated, you know, because he's trying to, you know, warn people, this is what's happening and this is what's happening. Sometimes you just got to, believe it or not, you got to sit back and let them see it for themselves. You know, see the inconsistencies, see the fact that they're disorganized.
Sometimes we worry that people aren't smart enough, but actually they are smart enough.
Yeah.
They're perceptive enough.
I mean, right. You talk about Taiwan. I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, what are we going to do?
I know.
You're going to loft a bomb at them for crying out loud? Then it's the end of the world.
Exactly. We don't want a nuclear war. Neither does China. But China, I think, always had a little bit of worry that maybe the United States would defend Taiwan. Now I'm wondering if they're more confident that the United States will not defend Taiwan. That's why when I asked Wai Feng Zong about whether or not they would be more prone under Biden to attack Taiwan than they would have been under Trump. But he seemed to think it wouldn't have made any difference. I'm not so sure. Mm. I'm not so sure. Normally, those of you that listen to us realize that in this segment, we typically have our buddy Andrew the Master Barber with us to share his opinions. He is a good Samaritan. He is actually doing God's work right now. He takes care of a Korean War veteran who was all by himself, that mm-hmm. Korean War veteran. And he had to take him to the hospital today. And Andrew called me last night and said, "Paul, I'm not sure I'll be able to join you on our show today because of this." So we salute Andrew, by the way, for all of the things that he does. He does a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a feisty guy. He's opinionated. But I can tell you, his heart is as big as the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. He will do things. The things he has done for other people, I mean it, you know.
Sure, yeah.
He does that, by the way, for his neighbors as well. He'll go, he cuts the lawn for his neighbors, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. He's very, very good that way. Anyway, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, I want to talk with Ed a little bit. We got all these sports going on, Ed, at the same time, do we not, with football and baseball mm-hmm. and hockey's about to start. And we got our top 10, and I want to see if Ed knows what's the number one state with the highest gas price. We got a lot to talk about. We'll be back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment here on Freedom Works. We thank you very much for being with us. Now, defunding the police. The Democrats have been kind of stuck with the tag of wanting to defund the police in major cities around the country. Well, there's a new video that the Republican National Committee is bringing out. It shows Democrat officials supporting the defunding of police. They took aim at prominent Democratic lawmakers ranging from squad leader Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and they published 7 straight minutes of Democrats echoing talking points of the defund the police movement. Now, the Democrats don't want that being out there. They don't want to be perceived or portrayed as defunders. But they've got some of these Democrats on tape. Here's one, Cori Bush. They got her on tape saying, "Suck it up. Defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police." This is what she said. Your good buddy Beto O'Rourke from Texas. "You don't have one bad apple. You don't have 4 bad apples. You have a system-wide problem in that police department." He was talking, I think, about some department in Texas in the video. In the meantime, remember George Soros? Well, Soros, a billionaire and a socialist, has dumped $500,000 into a campaign to defeat a proposal in Austin, Texas, that would bulk up the city's police department. Now, what is a guy from Greece throwing money over here to a local Austin police department? What is he doing that for, right? Yeah. There's a proposition on the ballot backed by a group called Save Austin Now that would require at least 2 Austin cops for every 1,000 residents, and would provide officers with an additional 40 hours of training every year on things like weapon proficiency and active shooter scenarios. So what does Soros do? His Open Society Policy Center donated $500,000 to a group in Austin working to defeat the proposition. So there you go. This is, there is a defund the police movement. It really is.
Well, you can look in St. Pete. We've got it right here.
Yeah, what's going
on? It's kind of a scaled back version. Quite frankly, current Mayor Kreisman, who was on his way out, gave the city a budget that included, it excluded giving the St. Pete police enough money to hire replacement officers, new officers. In other words, when some retire or leave, whatever, you replenish that. They did not have the money to do that.
They didn't fund it in the budget?
No.
That's interesting.
No.
Huh.
It went, no, he gave them a budget, and the city council approved it to the dollar, everything that was in it.
They didn't add any and additional funding was, to replace
exactly.
Police.
Exactly. Well, the funding actually
went
down.
So what are
down.
They going to do when they need to replace somebody? With
well,
somebody?
They're doing the ride-along counselors or, you know. Mm-hmm. For nonviolent crimes, we'll
so
send out a counselor.
Yeah, now, really.
Yeah, we'll send out a bunch of Dr.
So
Phil
call
wannabes.
A social worker.
Yeah,
is that what's going to happen?
Yeah,
that's kind of scary.
And of course, if you look at the latest stats in St. Pete, murders are up drastically.
Yeah, wow, not a good scenario whatsoever. Okay, Ed. Before we get to our top 10, we got a few minutes. I watched our beloved Rays. They looked good last night. They pounded the Boston Red Sox. The crowd, at first, it looked like the crowd was coming in during the game, by the way. It got bigger and bigger.
Yeah, you know, I was on the Ticketmaster looking at the tickets and seeing if it was a sellout. It was not technically a sellout. There was some single seats available here and there and here and there. But you saw that most of the lower bowl, if not all the lower bowl in the midsection, were full. Mm-hmm. And they opened up the third tier, which they don't normally do, which wasn't filled to capacity. But people that are buying that ticket are not going way up there.
Yeah.
They're staying down where you can walk around the trop. There's that 360 where you can walk around mm-hmm. and stop and go to the raised tank and look at the fish in there and... And not electing to go up into the third deck.
So the Rays won that game. What was the final? 4-5?
5-0.
5-0.
Yep.
There were two interesting things that developed. One was a home run that hit the catwalk deal up there.
It hit the ring, yes.
Yeah, it hit the ring. And if you hit a certain ring, it's an automatic home run. And he happened to hit
that. If you hit the C ring, the A is the center, B is the next one. You hit the C ring, it's technically... Because if you look at the trajectory of the ball... If it kept going, it would have hit the back wall of the trough.
So
the ring wasn't
the
there.
Question: Is the roof of the dome high enough for baseball?
Technically, no.
Okay.
It happens once in
a blue moon.
You know, maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah. So that's not
my
a lot.
Question. Is that even our? It happened to our own defensive players last night where they lost the ball. In the white roof.
Yeah.
Now, if you notice, when the Rays score a home run or somebody hits a home run, they light up the roof blue.
Okay.
Like a sky blue.
Yeah.
Why not leave
it blue?
Exactly.
I
to simulate
right.
a blue sky.
Yeah.
But then they're saying, well, it's to our Rays advantage players for the because the visiting team has a bigger problem. I'm saying, but if we have
right.
a problem too, why not let just this, you know?
I think you're right.
If
we can
make the ball
more visible, I think that's only fair.
Yeah, why not?
What's the point? Well, then shine spotlights in their eyes.
And we're talking LED lights, so it's very easy to do.
Right.
I mean, they don't have to make it a deep blue, just an off-colored white, you know?
All right, let's go quickly to the Bucks. What's going on?
Bucks
are
home this week, 1 o'clock game against the Miami Dolphins.
Should they win
it? They should win that because Tua Tagovailoa is out
Who's
with
that?
Ribs.
Who is he?
Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
Tua, their quarterback.
Oh.
Remember the one that they drafted
right.
a couple of years ago?
I don't know. He's
the savior. He's not very good.
Okay. So
he's constantly hurt. So Jacoby Brissett, former Colts backup
quarterback will play for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, he's not very good either. The Bucks should win this going away.
Okay. Will it be a home game?
It is a home game.
Okay.
Yes. 1 o'clock.
What about the Lightning? Are they going to be starting this?
And by the way, tonight's game for the Rays is 7 o'clock. Sunday's game,
the baseball game.
Yeah, Sunday's game. The Bucks are at 1 o'clock. The Rays are at 4 o'clock.
Wow, double treat.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we don't have time to talk about the Lightning, but we will talk about it on Monday because we got to get to a top 10, Ed, and I want to see how smart or knowledgeable, I should say, you are on gas prices around the country, okay? So we have compiled, and I did this last night, but it took me a while, by the way. They don't have any easy list on this one.
Mm.
These are the top 10 states with the highest average gasoline prices.
I think I can figure that out.
Okay, we'll see if you can. It comes from gasprices.aaa.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is the most up-to-date one I could find.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go, number 10. It's Washington, D.C., of all places. It's not really a state, but their average... regular is $3.40.7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they're about 40 cents more than us, because we're hanging around $2.99 a gallon.
And if you buy premium there, it's almost $4. It's $3.99.
I don't know why
too.
People put premium in there.
I know. Are there any cars these days that have
no,
to take premium?
Not really. They just...
Okay. All right. Number nine. Illinois. It surprised me a little bit, but their gas price for regular, $3.49.3. $3.49.3. I'm glad I'm not still living in Chicago. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I think there's a huge gas tax there. Number eight, Wyoming. Wyoming, $3.51 even for a regular tank of gas there. Wow. Wow. I'd get back on a horse there. There are plenty
of
horses.
Well, it's in the middle of the country. It might be hard to get supply there. I don't know. Maybe it's supply
issue. Well,
Wyoming's
out west, not in the middle of the country.
Well, towards the west, yeah.
Well, it's in the west. We're talking about towards the west. It's west. Anyway, okay, where am I? Number seven, Utah. $3.70.7 for all those Mormons.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think there's any refineries out in that area or oil drilling, is there?
Right.
Where you have a lot in the southern states.
In Utah, we got a lot of buried nuclear stuff, probably. But you're right. You're right. Okay, number six, Idaho. Idaho,
same
it's $3.72.9 a gallon in Idaho. I guess it's the same scenario, maybe, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why can't they build a pipeline to
and
Idaho?
What about the roads in the wintertime, you know?
Yeah. I'd build a pipeline right from Canada right down into Idaho, go straight up north.
Then somebody named Biden shut that off.
I know. Number five, we're going to stay out west, Oregon. No wonder they're rioting in Portland. Their gas prices are $3.74.2 a gallon. God, that's high.
Yeah.
You know what their premium price is, just for the fun of it? $4.11 a gallon. $4.11.
What about diesel? Did they give
you
a
diesel? Yeah, they do. Diesel is $3.70.2. It's actually cheaper for diesel again.
Wow.
Used to be that diesel was cheaper. Remember that?
Yep.
Okay, where are we here? Number four. Washington State, $3.85 a gallon. We're staying out west with this, Ed. Number three. Nevada. You know, it's bad enough that you're losing your money at the crap table. You get in your car and you have to spend $3.88.3 a gallon for your gasoline to get the hell out of town. Number two. Hawaii.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, supply issue.
Yeah, way the hell out there. $4.11.9 a gallon for regular. $4.56.6 a gallon for premium. And $4.43.9 a gallon for diesel. All right, Ed, quickly, what's number one?
I'm going to say California, probably $4 a gallon, and premium's $5 a gallon.
Bingo. $4.42.9 for regular. $4.42.9. You pay premium at $4.74.1, and your diesel, $4.46.8.
Wow.
Don't go to California.
Nope.
Too expensive. All right, thanks for listening. We'll be back Monday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3